So yes, in Luke chapter 24, page 1061. Daniela, could we flick back to the previous slide, please? This is what the Bible says about God's word. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. So remember, it said that people are grass, and their glory is like flowers. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We're not going to last, but God's word lasts. So, Luke chapter 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they're wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, keep it open, because we're wanting to get our answers, our understanding from the Bible, and we've got some questions we're going to ask of this and the other two passages. Can we have the slide up? Here we go, some questions. So how do they act? What do they do is my first question. In verse 4, the women get there. The stone has been moved away. They do not see the body of Jesus. So, and what do they do? How do they act, does it say? What do the women, how do they act? They're wondering. Yeah. Doesn't mean that they're trying to work it out. It means they're confused. They're in doubt and uncertain. The tomb is empty. But that doesn't make them trust Jesus as king. They're confused about it. What have they got wrong? Do the messengers say who turn up? Verse 5, what does it say? Yeah, they're looking for the living among the dead. That's silly. That's the wrong place to look for him. And what else have they got wrong? Sorry, Laura. Yes, they've forgotten the prophecy. Who was it who told them this? Jesus himself had said, hadn't he? They'd forgotten what Jesus had said. In verse 6, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how he told you. And so what in verse 6, what are they taught again? What are they taught? They are taught what he told them back in Galilee. Verse 6 and verse 7, sorry. In verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day be raised again. So we've got those first three boxes filled in. What did they do? They were confused. What did they got wrong? They went to the wrong place because they hadn't remembered what Jesus told. And then they get taught by these angels, Jesus said this, he must die and then rise again. And that's what makes them start to trust. It wasn't because they saw the empty tomb that they trusted. It wasn't that they saw angels that they trusted. It was because they heard the truth that Jesus had told them and they remembered. And now they're starting to trust. And that's true for people today. We don't know God because he shows us strange things, miracles or wonders. That doesn't make people know God. We know God by his message in the Bible. That's why in this building we have one in every seat, so we can all read it. We don't ask God to do miracles or send angels. You might think, I'd rather have an angel this week instead of Joel at the front. But that wouldn't, that doesn't change us. It's the message from the Bible. If you've got a Bible at home, do you read it? It'd be good if you did. I know some of you, have I got my copy? Here we go. Some of you are going through the reading plan. If you've fallen behind a bit, get it out, have another go, start again. Perhaps you join us in our midweek groups next term once they start on a Tuesday or Wednesday night to look at the Bible together, or Wednesday church, 10:30 in the morning. So one more question about these women. What do they do now, verse 9? Yeah, they go and tell. It says the 11. Why is there 11? Yeah, I think Betty knows clearly. There were 12, weren't there? 12 apostles, 12 disciples, but one of them, Judas, has left. So 12 take 1 is 11. That's why there's just the 11. Okay, you can see we've got two more bits that we're going to go through these questions when we come back to Luke 24. Keep your Bible, I mean, if you can, keep the Bible open, because we're going to go back to that bit. But next, we're going to sing a song. And we're going to sing Praise to God the Creator. When the music's on that, if it's closed, or pick it up if you've just put it down. So, same page. And we're carrying on the next section. I'm going to read through to verse 27. So from verse 30, yeah, not as it says on the screen, but through to 27. So from verse 13. Now that same day, so it's the same day as the women had been to the empty tomb, that same day two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So let's look again at our slide. If we can have the slide with these questions on. Now we're looking at the third column in the middle there, the people who are walking. So they're walking to this village called Emmaus, and Jesus turns up next to them, but they don't realize it's Jesus. In verse 17, when they're thinking about Jesus being dead, how do they feel? How do they act? Verse 17. Yeah, they stood. So it said, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing as you're walking along?" They stood still, their faces downcast, so they're sad. A downcast means you're looking disappointed or discouraged. And they say to Jesus, verse 18, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened?" Now, that's very funny, isn't it? Because they don't, of course, Jesus was there the whole time, but they don't realize. And what they're saying is, "Are you so stupid?" Whereas actually, they're the stupid ones because they don't realize who he is. So what have they got wrong, according to verse 25? Jesus tells them they've got something wrong. What have they got? What do they do wrong? What have they got wrong? Yeah. Go, Claude? Yeah, they still don't believe. They don't believe what? You're right. What is it they should believe? Anyone? What does it say there that they've not believed? Yes, that's what he goes on. And where is that said that Jesus had to die and rise again? Where in the scriptures, in what the prophets said. So they've still not believed the prophets. He doesn't say how foolish you are not to believe the empty tomb. He doesn't say how foolish you are not to believe the women. He says how foolish not to believe the prophets, God's messengers in the Bible. And then he teaches them. In verse 26, what does he teach them? This is Jesus teaching them, but they don't know it's Jesus. What does he teach them? Verse 26. Yeah, he had to suffer. The Messiah had to suffer, and then what would happen? And then he would rise or enter his glory. So the Messiah must suffer and rise. And what happens, I'll read on a little later. Verse 30, they go and they have a meal together. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So now they know they've seen Jesus alive. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11, not the 12, the 11, and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And now what do the walkers do in verse 35? What do they now do? Femi, you've got it. What do they do? They told. Yeah, they tell others. Yeah. Same as what the women had done. Now they tell them that they had seen Jesus. And what Jesus has explained to them, could we go back, on the third line down, all of the Bible he's saying is about him, verse 27, all the messengers so far, and beginning, verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, so Moses is back from the beginning of the Bible, all God's messengers, the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning what? Himself. So Jesus is the heart of God's plan. He's the main part. Jesus is God's promises come true. So the thing we need, we people need, we humans, it's not for our plans to succeed, because sometimes we have wrong plans. We need to know that Jesus is the main part of God's plan. Yeah, what we need more than miracles to make us believe in God is to believe what God has already said through his messengers, that his plan is about Jesus, who would die and then rise. And that's the message that we're hearing in this chapter. Well, we're going to sing about that. I think that's right. Here we go. 1062, the last bit of Luke 24. Well done. Good to have you at the front here. Thanks for coming up. And I'm going to read from verse 36. On a Bible. Okay. So it's right there. Verse 36. So what has happened? The two walkers, they've come back, they've met the 11 and people with them, and they're all sharing the news, exciting news. We've seen Jesus. Yes, we've seen Jesus. Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. I had to look that up on the internet. It means sort of grilled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. everything must be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So, can we have our slide, Aniola, please? Here we go. The third time we're going through these questions. So they see Jesus in verse 36, and how do they act in verse 37? Frightened. Yeah, startled and frightened. They're afraid. What have they got wrong? The women have got things wrong. The walkers have got things wrong. What have they got wrong? Verse 38. Yeah, they think he's a ghost. And what? Thank you. What else does verse 38 say they've got wrong? Yeah, they're doubting. Doubting means not being, not believing, being uncertain. See, the Bible again shows that if we see a miracle, it doesn't mean we're going to believe. We might misunderstand it. You see, they're seeing Jesus alive there, but they don't believe. They think he's a ghost. It's not from even knowing that the women had seen the empty tomb. It's when we listen to God's message and decide, I'm going to trust all these promises of God. This is what God is saying. I'm going to trust it. And he helps us to do that. So, what are they taught? Verse 46. What does he teach them? Verse 46. Yeah, Betty's got it again. Someone else. I think you're right. What does it say in verse 46? What does he tell them? It's so clear. It's in the verse. I want someone to read it to me. Go on, Maureen. Yeah, he will suffer and rise again. So can we have that? There we go. So the same each time that gets taught to all those three groups. Isn't it helpful when you see it like that? You see the same stories happen in a way three different times. The message has been, you've got it wrong. You should have remembered that the Bible says the Messiah will suffer and rise from again. And when people hear that, then they believe. You see the bottom box is empty. Because what's happened with the last two groups? What have they done at the end? They've gone and told others. Now, we don't actually get to that yet. So the women went and told the disciples. The two people were walking. They rushed back to Jerusalem and told the apostles. Let's see what happens about that then. So verse 46 again. Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. So three things to happen. First, the Messiah will suffer, and that's written in the Bible. Second, he will rise from the dead on the third day. And third, it's a time for repentance for forgiveness of sins. Let me explain what that means. Repentance is turning back. So if I'm going this way and I think, oh, I'm going the wrong way, I repent and I turn back and I go the right way. That's what repentance is. Repentance, when we think about living our whole life, is when we realize we come to our senses, like the young man did in Jesus' story, and we turn back and we go back to God. We say, God, I've been living like I'm in charge. I've not followed your ways. And we say, please forgive me. I need your help. So you see, Jesus says, verse 47, repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We don't go back and say, God, how about we try again? Or how about I try harder? Or how about you make it easier? No, we go back and we say, please forgive me. And he forgives. It's wonderful. And how does God feel about you today if he's forgiven you? He's delighted with you. He's delighted. Not because you've been good enough or you're trying better now, but because of Jesus. If you're not a Christian today, this is Jesus' message to you. Turn back. Come back to God and ask for forgiveness. So there are three stages to happen here. The Messiah must suffer, then he must rise from the dead, and then this message must be told to all the nations. So stages one and two have happened, haven't they? When did the Messiah suffer? How did that happen? Jesus died on the cross. That's right. When did he rise from the dead? The third day. Okay. But now it's the time for the message to be told to all nations. And in your classes, children, if you're in classes, you have a timetable, don't you? And there's a particular time of the week you do PE, probably do maths and English in the morning. Well, in God's timetable, now is the time for the message to go to the nations. And I've got some sheets here for some of the different nations that I think people have come from or have family connections to. So, children, I'd like you to come and get one of these sheets and then hold it above your head like that, two hands, and walk until someone from the church says, yeah, that's me, and they're going to take it. So if you're from one of these countries, if you could ask the children to give you that sheet, and we'll find out which of these countries we've got here. Does that make sense? Don't put it in front of your face, you'll fall over. Put it above your head. So, Richard, you want to take that and start walking around. Put it above your head so someone from India can say, yeah, that's me. Can you take that one? I don't think we've got AO here this morning, so missing a couple of countries. There you go. Can you put that up and walk? Maybe if you go that way, Kenya, that says. Someone from Kenya, grab that. England, that says. Hope, would you like to do this? No, no, okay. Keep going. Richard, I think if you go that way, you will find someone. Richard, stop right there. That's it. Alexandra, where does Alexandra need to go? Where is... keep going down there. Can I see... I thought I saw someone. West Indies back going... Yeah, we've got Kenya over there. Who are we missing? England. There's no one from England here. Right, okay. And we have Scotland here. Hooray. Okay, can you hold those up and turn them around so people can see those of you who've got those nations. On a good week, we'd have Sierra Leone and Pakistan as well, but they're both missing this morning. Terrific. Okay, thank you. Thank you for doing that, children. Thank you for helping those who've taken those sheets. So the message is going to all nations, like Jesus said. That's the third thing to happen. And if we've heard the message, if we have heard about Jesus, that we've got to repent and turn back and go to God for forgiveness, because Jesus is the heart of his plan, we need to tell other people that message as well. We need to tell them Jesus is the heart of God's plan, and you can turn back to God and be forgiven. So how do we do that? Let me tell you a few things that we can do so we can be taking part in what God's great plan is. First thing, think about who you know who is not a Christian. Who do you know who doesn't believe in Jesus? Do you know some people? Can you think right now of a name of someone? Someone in your class or someone at work or in a neighbor? Second thing, pray for them. Pray to God that he would help them realize the truth about Jesus so that they could repent and go back to God for forgiveness. And third, tell people that you're a Christian. Because if people who know you're a Christian, then they might be able to ask you questions, or they might say, can I come to your church? Don't worry if you might not know the answer to the questions. If you don't know the answer, you can come back and ask someone at church. Someone asked me this, what's the answer? It is scary, because sometimes people are quite rude about Christians. But Jesus says this is what he wants us to be doing, and he says he'll be with us to help us do it. So think about who you know, pray for them, tell them you're a Christian. You could say to people in your class, people at work, family, why not come to church with me? Give it a try. You'd be welcome to come. Okay, those are some things we can be working at doing. Because this is what the great Lord Jesus has said. He said, God's plan is about me. I'm the answer to all God's promises. The Bible said that I would have to suffer. Jesus said, I would have to suffer, and then I would rise from the dead, and then the news about me will go to all the different countries, so that people will repent and go back to God for forgiveness and have life with him. And as we've sung, there is only one way. One way. It's only through Jesus, and he will bring us back. Well, let's pray for help from God now to follow what we've been thinking about this morning, to live like this. Let's ask his help. And then when we pray, children, I'll let you go back to your seats. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that in the Bible we find out about your plan. Your plan was to send your son Jesus. And it was always your plan that he would die and then rise from the dead and show that he is the one way for life with you. Let's all think now about someone we know who's not a Christian, if you can think about that person in your head. Heavenly Father, please, for the person we're thinking about now, let them understand who Jesus is so that they can be forgiven like us. Please help us be part of your work of telling the news of Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.